So he went on a diplomatic mission to Fort Randolph. He and the three people in his envoy were captured and imprisoned by the fort's commander. So he went there on a diplomatic mission to warn that a raid was coming, and instead they put him in prison. When an American militiaman was killed nearby by some indigenous warriors, the American militiamen inside the fort killed Cornstalk and the other prisoners. And according to legend, Cornstalk's dying words were to say that he had come in peace to the Americans and was met with violence. So he called on the Great Spirit to blight the fields, the industry, and the lands of the whites and curse everything that they tried to do. There are West Virginians to this day who remain convinced that their state continues to suffer from the curse of Chief Cornstalk. As evidence, they point to the record of flooding that West Virginia has endured. And some flooding happens in West Virginia almost annually, but roughly every decade or so, the state will end up with 9 or 10 inches of rain in a day. Dozens of people end up killed, hundreds of millions of dollars of damage. And the most recent flood of that scale occurred just this summer. Well, in addition to the floods, people also point to the horrible record of accidents and death in West Virginia. I'm going to give you a list of a few things so that we all have a sense about West Virginia's misfortune. Well, if we define a mining disaster as 3 or more people being killed, there have been 120 mining disasters in West Virginia since 1886. All told, since the 1880s, approximately 21,000 miners, many of them immigrants and African Americans, died on the job in West Virginia. December 1907, an explosion occurred in Monaga while they were connecting two mining tunnels, killing 361 people. It remains the worst mining disaster in U.S. history. During the Depression from 1930 to 1935, a 3-mile hydroelectric tunnel was being dug at a place called Hawk's Nest. Workers were not given any masks or breathing equipment because it wasn't considered a mine. They happened to be digging, however, through quartz or silica. At least 700 of them, perhaps as many as 1,000 out of the 3,000, so roughly 1 in 3 miners, died of silicosis, which is a lung disease that develops when you breathe in silica dust. It is the deadliest industrial and workplace disaster in U.S. history. Got a couple more of these examples for you. December 1967 in Point Pleasant, the Silver Bridge collapsed, killing 46 people. And the bridge is at the confluence of the Ohio River and the Kanawha River, which was the site of Cornstalk's execution. February 1972, a dam, an earthen dam, holding back what folks call a coal slurry. It's sludge as a byproduct of the coal industry. Well, this earthen dam collapsed, and it sent 132 million gallons of wastewater rushing into the valley below. 125 people were killed, 550 homes were destroyed. And one more, April 1978, a cooling tower that was under construction in Willow Island collapsed, killing 51 construction workers. It's the deadliest construction accident in U.S. history. So catastrophic flooding on a regular basis, 21,000 dead workers, and a horrible record of deadly accidents. And you heard me say the words, the worst in U.S. history, quite a bit here. And on top of all of those things, all of those disasters, all of that death, there's also the Mothman. I don't know if anyone's familiar with the Mothman. So the Mothman is a cryptid creature like Bigfoot or the Loch Ness Monster. In November 1966, two couples from Point Pleasant told the police that their headlights had shone on a humanoid with 10-foot wings and red eyes, and they saw it out near the old World War II TNT storage facility. The Point Pleasant Register, the local newspaper, published an article. Here's what it was titled. Couples see man-sized bird, creature, something. And that story was picked up by the national news and spread across the U.S. And sightings continued for several more years. Most notably, several people reported that just before the Silver Bridge collapsed in 1967, that they saw the Mothman. So some people in the western part of West Virginia, in Point Pleasant in particular, are convinced that the Mothman is part of the curse of Chief Cornstalk, that either he created it or he summoned the creature. And they say that the Mothman lives out at the old TNT underground storage facility, the Mothman, that he, people say he shows up and bad stuff happens. There's been a range of explanations of what the Mothman is, from a sandhill crane to an alien to an instance of a Men in Black cover-up. Point Pleasant began holding a Mothman festival in 2002, which attracts 10,000 to 12,000 people. And if you go to Point Pleasant, you can also visit the Mothman Museum and Research Center, which opened in 2005. My wife has been there. She has cryptids. Well, are Point Pleasant and West Virginia cursed by Chief Cornstalk and the Mothman? After all, don't all places have bad things happen sometimes? Indiana has been subject to a range of disasters. For instance, in 1913, we were absolutely hammered by rain and high winds and what's called the Great Flood of 13. Most of our state was underwater. In 1925, the Great Tri-State Tornado killed 100 people in Indiana. October 1963, 81 people were killed and 400 injured at the Coliseum at the state fairgrounds in a gas explosion. In the blizzard of 1978, temperatures reached minus 50 degrees and 3 feet of snow fell in the state. June 1990, the state was hit by 37 tornadoes in one day. So you get the idea, we got bad stuff too. So is what has happened in West Virginia just natural? Nature being nature, humans making mistakes, just like happens everywhere? Or is something different happening? And I'm going to answer both yes and no to my question. And what I mean by that is, on the one hand, what's happened in West Virginia is normal and comparable to what has happened everywhere. But on the other hand, what's happened in their state and to its people is also extraordinary. Why is that? Well, let's take a look at the record of disasters. How can we explain what has happened? Let's start with the flooding. Flooding is indeed very common in West Virginia, more common than elsewhere. But we can also explain that in a perfectly reasonable way. Its location means that moisture from the Gulf of Mexico, from the Atlantic, and from the Great Lakes can all congregate in that part of the country. It's a wet place. But keep in mind also, it's a state of nothing but rolling hills and mountains. So when they get hit by that kind of rain, it's going to come roaring down through the valleys. They are subject to much more flooding. And part of it is just based on the topography of the place. So just like some places are more prone to wildfires or tornadoes, flooding is part of West Virginia. But what about all the rest of the stuff? Flooding we can explain easily, but what about the worst? All of those, the worst in U.S. history things. 21,000 people dead on the job. One out of three people dying after they dug a tunnel. Some of that explanation can be attributed to the fact that mining is just plain dangerous. But there's more to it. There's more to it than that. A big part of the explanation is that it took a long time for worker safety to become any kind of a priority. The coal industry historically, but even now, gets away with a lot in how it treats people and the environment. Now, putting profits before people, That's not unique to the coal industry. It's not unique to West Virginia. But the amount of collusion between the coal industry and the state government does make things worse in West Virginia. The who's who of the state, the people with the money and the power, the people who get elected and get appointed, they're very often made from coal money. So essentially, the government agencies who might serve as a source of oversight and regulators of the coal industry are also the very same people who benefit from the coal industry. The West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection has been described as a revolving door of people from the coal industry. People come from the coal industry into environmental protection and back again. So let me give you two especially poignant examples of what this kind of collusion between the government and the coal industry looks like. In the last few decades, the coal industry has changed tactics. It's very expensive to tunnel. It's much cheaper to just blow the top off of a hill and then go extract from the top. So the coal industry since the 90s has been given permits to just remove the trees and everything from a hill or a mountaintop, blow it up, fill in the valleys next to it, pretty much as they want. They use ammonium nitrate as an explosive that then becomes runoff. Now, it's not toxic, it's salt. However, it's obviously not good for wildlife, for the environment when it enters the water supply. Environmentalists have called this practice, this new practice of the coal industry, a form of ecocide. People who speak out about this practice are regularly threatened. It can be very dangerous to speak out against coal in this part of the world. So that's one example of the collusion, a very poignant example of the collusion between the coal industry and the state. If you want a permit to blow up a mountain, no problem. Here's another example. In 1995, the state granted Massey Energy a permit to construct what they call a coal impoundment. Well, their coal impoundment is a dam made of earth that stores the industry's waste and byproduct. Since 1995, they've gotten multiple permits to increase the size. So the Brushy Fork Coal Slurry is currently the tallest dam in this hemisphere. If you put the Eiffel Tower down at the bottom, the dam is taller than that. So taller than the Hoover Dam. Neil helped me on the math on this, so I know I got it right. It's holding 31 billion cubic meters of waste, with plans to increase it up to 37 billion. Now compare that to the dam that broke at Buffalo Creek back in 1972. So the one in 1972 held 132 million gallons. Brushy Fork is holding 8.2 billion gallons. And it's held up by an earthen dam in a place that gets catastrophic flooding on a regular basis. So it seems quite fair to call coal both the boon and the blight of West Virginia. So why do some people seek explanation in the paranormal? Why do some people blame Chief Cornstalk and the Mothman for their troubles? Well, part of the explanation might lie in the fact that King Coal has been a source of good things. Looking too deeply at the coal industry and its human record and its environmental record, that might just be too difficult for some people. And if we look too deeply at the coal industry, it's also going to implicate the state government in its collusion with coal. The state government has continued to grant permits, right, for the blowing up of mountains and for the continued building up of that coal impoundment. And the government's repeated complicity in allowing coal to make money at the expense of the people and at the expense of the environment, that might just be too painful of a truth for some people to face. So I think for some people, the curses of Chief Cornstalk and Mothman provide an alternative means of explanation when the truth is simply far too difficult to accept. Psychologically, human beings were sometimes prone to what is known as a proportionality bias. So when something big happens, we expect the cause to be proportional to it. So when you live in a place where you've had a whole lot of things happen that are the worst in U.S. history, for some people, explaining that requires an equally big explanation. Just saying, oh, well, that's due to collusion between industry and government, for some people, that's too simple and ordinary, not satisfactory enough. So conspiracy theories, paranormal explanations, they can sometimes be an effort to close the gap between what people see as a giant thing, but a too small of an explanation, right? So they fill it in the middle with something else. For some West Virginians, the record of disasters is so great that just pointing the finger at capitalism at its worst isn't satisfying enough. Well, whether West Virginia's problems are due to collusion between industry and government, or curses, or both, West Virginia absolutely illustrates the power of the labor movement. Jobs did get a whole lot safer when workers in the public put pressure on the federal and state governments to intervene in mining. So on this Labor Day, we honor those who fought, those who suffered, and those who died to provide our country with energy and better working conditions. Lots and lots of wealth has come out of West Virginia for a century and a half. But to this day, the wealth of the population has not risen with it. West Virginia currently has the second lowest per capita income in the nation. And while the rest of the country seeks more alternative and renewable energy options, West Virginia has doubled down on coal. The state still has 8 coal-fired power plants. But ironically, once again, elites benefit while average people suffer. As the price of coal has gone up recently, many West Virginians now pay more to heat their homes than they spend on their mortgage, despite being the heartland of coal. Among the lovers of Mothman, there is apparently a saying that you don't need to believe in the Mothman believes in you. Well, I believe in them too. Never doubt the power of people when we organize and push for change. So let us wish the workers and the people and the environmental protectors of West Virginia, let us wish them the best as they push for more affordable energy and better environmental protections.